You're listening to Packers Talk Network.
PackersTalk.com.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Jordan, seriously. Jordan goes, okay, count it down. Okay, now that you started counting, I'll just hit record right now.
Brian's really good at Jordan's voice, too. That was
so spot on. I've never heard
Jordan's like him.
Jordan, we're going to do this episode as each other and see if anybody notices.
Well, Dusty already has my laugh on lockdown, so.
Guys, let me tell you why I'm so upset right now.
I'm going to be in Aruba. It's not a big deal. I'm just going to be in Aruba.
And then I get to be Dusty. Well, guys, I got some numbers for you this week. The Packers have held opponents to under 30% from the field goals. And
under 30% from field goals, that'd be good. That's a good stat, John.
How they cover the field goals, like the actual goalposts themselves, the Packers are under 30%. So
I don't understand.
Yeah, don't try to understand.
I really like it. I'm a big fan of it, John. I want that one.
This
on
is
the
why
show.
You do numbers and I don't.
I'm writing that down. I'm writing that down. It's going in the stats.
Check New York Bozo. New York Bozo. New York Bozo.
I got to get my biceps a little bigger.
Yeah, you can always work on that.
Oh, I could sure use a hot dog with chili.
You know what time the game starts?
Hey, you got any left-handed footballs? We need to fire him. Is anybody else tired or is it just me? Good thing I'm in shape.
You got any eligibility left?
I got some advice for y'all. Take 2 weeks off, then quit.
Good evening, Packer Nation. Welcome back to another playoff edition of Pack to the Future podcast. I am the host, John Jameson, and man, oh, Shevitz, the Packers snuck out a thriller this week. It was an absolute barn burner, an instant classic. Mason Crosby, the kick tried to go left. It tried, but the smooth, sweet kiss that God gave that football to get back into the uprights sent the Packers to the NFC Championship game. And we are very, very happy in Wisconsin and wherever Packer Nation finds themselves. And guys, how are you doing tonight? Because, I mean, I am on top of the world, to be honest with you. And Brian, let's start off with you. Brian, are you as jacked up as I am?
John, I don't think anybody is as jacked up as you are, man. Dude. That was a good, forceful intro, though, man. I love that.
Thanks.
Do you guys remember, like, 2012 or 2013, whatever it was, when, like, Mason Crosby was among the worst kickers in football?
Not no more.
He just had the yips for, like, a season and a half. And now here he is, 23 straight playoff field goals made. One of the best kickers in the league, if not the best. Like, I do not miss those days. This guy's a man.
Quick question for all you guys. Best Packer kicker of all time. Did Mason just cement himself?
I've always been a Chris Jackie man myself. But, yeah, Crosby, I think Crosby is... I think that 56-yarder put him over the top, man. That was something.
I go more Chester Markholm in the early 80s.
Well done. I was raised in the church of Chris Jackie, so he has a special place in my heart, but
it's that hair, man. It was that hair.
It is that hair. So close second is Mason Crosby. He's a Super Bowl winning kick away from going number one.
Mine was Ryan Longwell too. He went to the Devils team. And so mine's gotta be Mason. So Dusty, how are you doing tonight?
Yeah. I'm really good, man. I spent most of the day yesterday. Not most of the day. I spent some of my day yesterday just making GIFs from the game, the celebration stuff, looking at the kick, just a whole bunch of the huge plays, the Rodgers to Cook. Man, it just every time I just was watching them just on repeat, and just every time I was excited. It's, man, just a tremendous game. Like you said, instant classic. I don't know if it's the best game of theirs I've watched, but it's really, really close. Very exciting. I'm... NFC Championship game, man. I'm amped. Really amped.
From the bottom of my heart, Dusty, those were some of the best gifts I have seen in a very long time. Maybe it was just the monumentous moments that happened during the game, but you accurately depicted the gifts to perfection, Dusty.
I take no credit for that. That's the men on the field. I'm just pushing the buttons, you know. I'm just the guy behind the guy. Behind the guy, yeah.
Just the guy behind the camera. That's right. And Jordan, how are you doing?
Guys, Victory Monday transitioned beautifully into Victory Tuesday. Spent the last 5-10 minutes of my last class of the day showing my students the Packers Cowboys highlights. Most of them did not care, but that's okay. That's okay. That's okay. They're better off for it, and they'll thank me one day.
They will.
That's a life lesson. You start them off on being Packers fans early, and that will be. That'll be something they'll forever hold dear for the rest of their life. So you're doing a good job, Jordan.
Thank you.
Keep the
thank
kids
you.
Off the streets, Jordan. Nice job, buddy.
You alone are responsible for this. You alone.
And guys, before we get into our patented coin toss segment, I just want to give you guys a quick hitter for something that we're going to be doing that's new to Pack to the Future. We're going to be doing some mini episodes. And they are not going to be featured on Packers Talk Network. So please just search them out, aka go to packtothefuture.com and give those a listen and tell us what you think about them. And now getting into our coin toss segment, we have Dusty. I tried to pronounce your last name, Dusty, for just a hot minute, and I failed.
It didn't go well.
It did not go well at all. So, Dusty, you're going to be hosting the coin toss.
It is a tough one.
Easily. And Dusty, you're going to be hosting. You're going to be hosting the coin toss segment today, and I'm looking forward to it. Give me some wins, especially against Jordan. Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it, man. All right, so we got, as always, three topics. I'm gonna flip a coin. They're going to debate it, and then I will rule as Judge Judy and Executioner, and I will say who won each one. So, John, we're actually going to give you the first one off, but you get to close strong. So, this first one's going to be Brian versus Jordan. All right, so this first one, question is...
Easy win.
Which Aaron Rodgers throw was better, the one to Cook in this game on 3rd-and-20, or the Hail Mary to Janis to end the game against the Cardinals last year? So, I got a coin in front of me. If it's heads, Brian, you say that the one to Cook was better. And if it's tails, you got to argue that the Hail Mary to Janis was better. Brian, it's heads. The throw to Cook this past weekend was better.
Oh, my goodness. You really can't go wrong, can you? But that throw to Cook, just like the total package makes it better. We just took a sack. We're down to 3rd-and-20. Like, our offense... not doing what it had been doing for the first 2.5 quarters or so. Rodgers takes what turned into a little bit of a stale quarter and just sets it all on fire with a throw that no other quarterback in the National Football League can make. Maybe no other quarterback ever can make. Across his body, that's his specialty. It's the hardest throw in football to make, but he does it and puts it on a dime. You also have to give extra credit for an amazing catch by Jared Cook. The degree of difficulty on that catch was ridiculous. The ball was thrown perfectly to a place where only he could get it, but he had to dance Michael Jackson style and be on his tippy toes. He had to drag his feet. He had to corral all of it. All knowing, he must have been thinking in the back of his mind what happened to Dez Bryant 2 years ago, too. So extra pressure on that one. Just an unbelievable degree of difficulty on both ends, and the stakes were high, and Rodgers came through like he always does. Also extra points because he just drew up that play like a bunch of school kids playing in a sandlot. Just like told all the receivers where to go instead of calling a play. Unbelievable from beginning to end.
All right, Jordan, the Hail Mary to Janis was better.
Okay. Well, again, like Brian said, you can't really go wrong with these throws. I firmly believe that both of these throws go in the category of no one else being able to make them. But to bring you back the memory of the Jeff Janis Hail Mary, most Hail Marys that you have, and even I think back to the one against the Lions last year, And then the one against the Giants, they were like how most Hail Marys go. You get your feet set, three-man rush, you have some time, the guys get down there, and you chuck it deep. There was a little bit of pressure in the Lions one, you know, but he was able to get his feet set and chuck it deep. Again, fantastic throws, both of those. Now this, the one against the Cardinals is just another level, though. Again, you usually have time to set your feet. He knows where everybody's going to be. This one in particular, he gets an amazing amount of pressure right away. I mean, because Arizona actually defends a Hail Mary the way I would like to see it defended, where you actually rush four or five guys and make the quarterback a little antsy. They did it perfectly. They did exactly what you're supposed to do, in my opinion. You rush him, you make him uncomfortable. They make him roll to his right. He spins around, plants his feet. Guys, he's at his own 45-yard line when he throws that ball. And he throws it 5 yards deep into the end zone. That's 60 yards. with barely setting his feet. It's just absolutely insane. I mean, it's luck. Yes. I mean, a little bit of luck. I mean, Janis goes up and gets it. I mean, obviously that's got to happen. But again, a throw that nobody in this NFL can make. And he was able to make it happen in that game. So, I mean, it'll eventually fade, I think, a little bit from people's memories, even Packer fans' memories, just because we lost that game. But man, that I'll never stop being amazed at that throw. It's unbelievable.
He was fading backwards on that too. Like, not only was he outside the pocket, he's fading backwards as he chucked that thing mile in the air.
He's got a dude. He's got a dude right in his face, which he actually that's in terms of. I mean, there's a few differences between this and the Cook throw, but I mean, he doesn't have a guy right in his face in the Cook throw. He's a guy right in his face and chucks it in the one spot really that Janis can go up and get it. It's
ridiculous. To mention that, like, he threw this ball to Janis with Patrick Peterson covering him. If Patrick Peterson can't cover that pass, you know that it's just like an absolute wonder ball. Okay,
it's absolutely insane.
We're all fighting against Brian right now.
Yeah, you are.
Handicap match.
Janis one, like Jordan said, you kind of we forget about it, and I've lamented that before, that you forget about the big plays that happen if it's a loss, and that's what happened with that Janis one, and that kind of sucks. You know, I think I'm gonna have to go with Jordan on this. You, Brian,
yeah,
good argument. Jordan painted just a really.
I was
clear...
gonna say Jordan automatically gets extra points because the degree of difficulty goes up when you're trying to complete a pass.
I'm gonna tell you right now,
Janis. So I'm perfectly fine with
for me, for my judgment, I was not picking who had what. I was picking who told the better story, and Jordan painted a very clear picture. Jordan, you win.
I said the word Sandlot, man.
Yeah, and I tuned out. I was thinking about the movie. I didn't hear the rest of your argument, so maybe that was part of what I was thinking. Like,
that's exactly what I was
going thinking about
for.
When the Jets stole home and you kept talking and the whole thing, dude. I don't know. All right.
That's exactly what I was hoping would
second
happen.
Second coin
just
toss.
Backfired, I guess.
We're going to go Jordan, who just won, the victor of the last one, versus John. This one, since that throw was so big, we decided that we're going to do this twice. We're going to talk about the throw from Rodgers to Cook again. This time we're going to switch it up a little, though. This question is on the Cook completion of Jared Cook. Was the throw or the catch better? So I'm off of a coin. John, if it's heads, you say the catch is better. If tails, the throw. John, it's heads, the catch is better.
I mean, the throw's so nice, we'll talk about it twice, but I'm going to argue that. I'm going to argue that by saying that Jared Cook completely made that throw possible. And, I mean, when you have number 12 coming out and saying that that was not his best throw of all time, I mean, that should automatically just declare me the winner of this coin toss. But, no, getting into the nitty-gritty of it, the execution on Cook's part, based on it not even being a play, from like an actual playbook, it's just designed. He knew where he had to go. Rodgers did put the ball where it needed to be, but it was a little bit wobbly. I'm not trying to discredit 12. I mean, he did put the ball where it had to be. It was a little wobbly. It increased the difficulty of the catch for Cook, not to mention the dancing that he had to do on the sideline and the way he had to maneuver his body to make that catch even happen. And just to get the feet down, I mean, Brian mentioned it earlier when he said that was a la Michael Jackson right there on the sideline. I mean, he's absolutely right. I mean, the catch The catch was just absolutely amazing. The throw was good, but the catch was absolutely amazing.
Jordan, the throw was better.
So you mentioned what Rodgers meant, saying that that wasn't his best throw. I knowing how Rodgers handles the media, he'd probably say that some throw he made in a preseason practice at Butte Community College was his best throw. He'd be like, "Oh, guy, it just felt good that day." You know, he'd make some comment like that. That being so, the catch is fantastic. My main argument that I would say for saying it's a better throw than a better catch. Again, I'd say there's quite a few receivers that could make that catch. I mean, Jared Cook, take nothing away from him. I mean, that's not my point, is to disparage him. Obviously, he made a fantastic play to keep both feet in bounds on that ball. It wasn't the tight spiral. That's the one thing that I think hasn't really been mentioned about it. It wasn't the tightest spiral that he's ever thrown. So you take that into account. But I think there's a lot of receivers that can make that catch, whereas making that throw right where it's at. I mean, the views from behind where Cook is at and the view from behind where Rodgers is at, like where he throws it to, it's just I can't imagine being Rodgers and thinking, oh, I'm going to put it right at that spot and Cook's going to go get it. Like, I can't imagine going through that thought process. I just can't do it. And Rodgers seems to be one of a very few that even would think to make that throw. And I think he's the only one that can physically make that throw. So all credit to Cook for making the catch. I think there's a lot of guys that can make that catch. I think there's one guy that can make that throw.
I think I've written about this before, but I can't remember who said it. But when Aaron Rodgers a couple of years ago, when it was really coming down, is like Aaron Rodgers is too cocky, blah, blah, blah. I can't remember who it was. Some analyst said, with some of the throws he makes, like he has to be cocky. You don't make those throws if you're not a little cocky. That was definitely one of them. Like you said, there's no way he should have been able to make that. No one thinks to throw that ball. You usually throw that out of bounds. You punt, you play for overtime. No one thinks to do that. You gotta have a little bit of an attitude. You know what? I'm actually going to side with John because John brought up the fact that it was kind of a duck and Jordan obviously was not listening. So, John, you win this one.
I mentioned it was a duck. You said
nobody brought it up, so I kind of assumed that you didn't listen to John.
Oh, my gosh.
John, you're embarrassing yourself.
How does it feel, Jordan?
Okay. both good points. Both really, really good points. For the record, I do believe that the throw was harder than the catch, but that was...
I'm just gonna clean some things up in practice. gonna have a good week of practice.
Not college anymore, Jordan.
Jordan has a knee. John has a shoulder.
I've got a voice. I've got a voice.
Hip. All right, we're
Dusty,
gonna
thank
go.
Thank you for the win. Thank you for the
You're
win.
Welcome. Hey man, you earned that. You earned that, John. That was good talking. Good talk Thanks. With your voice. All right, last coin toss, fellas. We're going John versus Brian. This is something we covered kind of earlier in the season as far as how, like, when we decide whether a Packer season is a success or not. So we're just going to play off of that. It's been a while since we've talked about it. They've advanced far in the playoffs. So the question is, since the Packers have made the NFC Championship game, is this season considered a success? Brian, if it's heads, you say it's a success. John, Brian, if it's tails, you say not a success. It's tails. Brian, this season has not been a success yet.
Look, the way that Aaron Rodgers is playing right now is on a whole nother planet. Like, you can count the number of bad throws he's made in the past 8 weeks on one hand, okay? So you have the quarterback there hotter than any other quarterback in the NFL right now. The rest of the guys have to step up. The coaching staff has to step up. This has to be a team effort to say, no, this is not a success if we do not get a Super Bowl victory here, okay? So, no. This is a team that's in the business of winning championships. They've done it better than any other team in the world. So it's a failure if they don't win this Super Bowl.
John, their season success right now.
This season has definitely been a success so far. I mean, you look at where the Packers were at. They were at 4-6, ran the table, got back into this whole mess. And on top of that, we pretty much played the majority of the season without a secondary and without a run game. And the Packers are in the NFC Championship game. I mean, when you take two key facets out of an NFL team's game like that, just to be even considered or be in the running to even make it to a Super Bowl right now has been absolutely unbelievable. The heart of this team has carried them this far, and I hope it continues to carry them. But if they were to lose on Sunday, I would say just based on all the variables that have happened this season, you know, with injuries and just losing some games that we never thought that the Packers should have lost, I would definitely say that where they've gotten themselves to is enough for them to pat themselves on the back and say, you know what, we fought hard, and that's pretty much it.
After this, Brian may ban me from ever hosting this section again, but I'm going to give it to John. John brought a little fire, brought a little passion. Brian, I could tell you didn't believe what you were saying. You're going through the motions. You're like, nah, man, they win championships. Just was my turnover. Like, I think you ended short. Like, I could tell you didn't believe it. I could tell you didn't believe it, Brian.
All right, guys. Do you believe it?
I half believed it.
Now I get my FaceTime. First official FaceTime. My turn.
No, you don't.
You're done. It's like 2 seconds. No. You already went over. You're
there
done,
it.
John.
There
you're
it
done.
Is. There's, yeah, there's. There's.
You got
there's
it.
My seconds of fame right there. Oh yeah.
I think you used it well. I think you used it well, John.
And you know what? I'm actually gonna use my seconds of fame to plug a sponsor that has been ever so gracious to us. And I know I'm being very selfless in doing this, but I'm not gonna be completely selfless because I want Jordan to talk about it. So
worst sponsor transition ever.
I thought it was good.
It was fantastic. Fantastic.
We're still live. We're still live, guys. Jordan.
We're still live.
We're still live.
Jordan, we're still doing it live.
Guys. Guys, you know the sponsor we're talking about. You know the place to get the Packers apparel that you need for this playoff run. 8-game winning streak. There's so many good things happen with this team, guys, and you need to be repping this team. You need to be repping the green and gold. For that, guys, got to check out Pride and Glory Clothing Company. Lots of great t-shirts, sweatshirts that we've been talking about, hats, you know, beanies, wristbands. I mean, just anything you guys can want to get out of the usual rut of just wearing a jersey every weekend. It's cliche, you know. Be a little different on playoff Saturdays or Sundays, going forward. It's good for wearing in the off season, getting ready for next season. You know, it's fantastic choices. Check out prideandglory63.com. That's prideandglory63.com.
As great Lou Reed would say, take a walk on the wild side.
All right, guys, I'm here with Gina Thomas of The Falcoholic. Gina, how you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks. How are you?
I am fantastic, in a really good mood after that game on Sunday.
I bet.
I'm sure you're feeling good about beating the crap out of the Seahawks, too.
I am feeling good about seeing the Falcons actually pull off a decisive postseason victory. That is a first in the Matt Ryan era. They didn't blow a 17-point lead, so I do feel pretty good about it.
Very nice. All right, so we're both in high spirits then. So let's get right to the football talk, why don't we? So our first meeting, you guys squeaked out a 1-point victory over us in a game mm-hmm. where our defense was just atrocious. But offensively, we were without Randall Cobb, Ty Montgomery, and Jared Cook, and we still only managed to lose by one. So how are you feeling in a defensive mindset about this game?
You know, first of all, I do just want to say, like, regardless of who Rodgers is missing on the field, he's dangerous. Mm-hmm. He can make plays happen. It doesn't matter who he's throwing the ball to. So I don't think it really matters who y'all are missing. Rodgers is dangerous, and that's just the reality of it. But I do feel better about this defense than I felt certainly going into that first matchup. It's a very young defense. They've got three rookies starting. The fourth rookie is on the field about 67% of the time. That's Brian Poole in the nickel. And then Vic Beasley, second-year guy. They've got Grady Jarrett at defensive tackle, who's a second-year guy who gets a lot of snaps in the rotation. And then even Ricardo Allen, the free safety, has been on the team for a few years, but he converted to free safety before last season and has less than 2 years of starting experience. So it's a very young defense. And what we've seen since the bye is that they've become much more cohesive, and they really have a much better understanding of the necessary communication on the field and the speed of the game. And so they've improved dramatically. I think I saw a stat yesterday where before the bye, they were allowing an average of, you know, 28.3 or something points per game. And then since the bye, it's been 20.3 points per game. And you do have to factor in competition because, you know, they had the Rams, they had the 49ers after that point in time. But still, they have improved dramatically. And I think we saw definitely improved play against the Seahawks. So the 2016 Seahawks are kind of a shell of their former selves. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that it's reasonable to say, hey, look what they did against the Seahawks, and then expect that to necessarily apply to the Packers, because what this defense is good at is rushing the passer and creating takeaways. And those are two things that you just don't get done easily against Aaron Rodgers. So they have their work cut out for them for sure. But I do feel better about this unit going into this game than I did earlier in the season. The reality is, this is a defense with this Falcons offense that just has to do enough. And so if they can just do enough against the Packers, it'll be a close game, it'll be a shootout, but Atlanta can get the win. But the defense is going to have to do enough, and that's not going to be an easy task.
All right. Let's talk injuries. So the Packers have one big one of their own. It's unlikely that Jordy will play, so that'll help your defense a bit. You just lost Adrian Claiborne, the defensive lineman, to injured reserve. Julio Jones left the game early. Give me some updates on what those two injuries, what impact will that have on Sunday?
Yeah, it's definitely not ideal to not have Claiborne on the field. Claiborne was a first round pick when he came out of Iowa, and then didn't really live up to that billing when he was in Tampa Bay, but has come here for the past two seasons, has really played like it, like his draft status. And he's been a factor in the improved pass rush for sure this season. But I will say they lost him earlier in the season to a knee injury for several weeks, and they still were okay. So I think, you know, it's not ideal to not have Claiborne on the field, but that's not the end of the world. The good news, or the bad news, I guess, depending on which side you're sitting on here, is that Julio should be fine for Saturday. I think that, you know, what Dan Quinn said was that if the game had been close on Saturday, he would have put him back in the game, that he was ready to play. I think that resting him is more of a precaution. The thing about Julio Jones is that, like, he's going to be ready to play. His work ethic is remarkable. And so he is going to be fully prepared and physically and mentally ready for this game, whether he is participating fully in practice or not. So he's going to be ready to go, and it shouldn't be an issue as far as not having him on the field this week.
All right. So break down for me real quick. What do you think the Falcons need to do to get a win here?
Yeah, they've got to score a lot. They have to score a lot. I mean, the thing is, you know, you just watch Rodgers, especially over, I'd say, I don't know, what was it, like the last 6 weeks of the regular season and then these 2 weeks of the postseason. Like, he is just so dialed in. And I think every Falcons fan has, you know, just horrible post-traumatic stress about the last time Rodgers came into the Georgia Dome in the postseason. And, like, it genuinely ruined my life. I was at that game with my ex-husband, who was a Packers fan. And we were sitting, we got upgraded to club level, which was nice, except that it was all Packers fans in there. And Packers fans are the nicest people. I mean, you know, good Midwesterners, you know, very nice people. So, like, it was to the point that Packers fans were apologizing to me for how badly the Packers were beating the Falcons. And I was just like, this is literally one of the worst days of my life. Like, it was just so awful. And so everybody has horrible memories of that. And the Falcons are going to have to score a lot. I think on our site's podcast last night, I made a score prediction, but also I predicted my blood pressure is going to be like 180 over 120, because I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be a shootout. And, it's going to be interesting, but the Falcons are going to have to score a lot if they want to beat Rodgers, and they're capable of it. I mean, this was the top scoring offense in the league this season. So it's not like that's, you know, a stretch or asking too much of this particular group of guys.
Yeah, well, there's no Tremont Williams to give you nightmares this time, so that might help.
Oh, my goodness. It'll help a little bit.
A little bit. All right, so let's hear your score prediction.
Okay, well, I am on record with 34-31 Falcons. I think it's going to come down to a classic late game Matt Bryant field goal to win it. And I think it's really going to come down to whoever has the ball last. You know, that's how both of these offenses function. So I think if the Falcons will have the ball last, it'll be a late game Matt Bryant game winning field goal, which he's done so many times. And that's the perfect way to close down the Georgia Dome.
All right. Fair enough. You know, I feel like the Packers have a really bad record when Pack to the Future guests pick the Packers to actually win. So I'm perfectly fine with what you just said.
Dang it. I picked the Packers the last time I was on here, and the Packers did lose. So
there you go.
Maybe I should revise my prediction, but I can't. It's too late.
You are on record. It's too late.
Yep.
All right. Tell the good people listening right now where they can find you and what you do.
Okay, well, I cover the Falcons for thefalcoholic.com on SB Nation, and I also write about the NFL as a whole for SB Nation. That's actually my full-time job. So you can find me on Twitter at Gina Thomas, J-E-A-N-N-A Thomas, and you can find my work at both of those places.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us, Gina.
Thank you so much for having me.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back in to our coverage of the green and gold. Brian, what do the Packers have to do to make it to the Super Bowl this Sunday?
Look, like every week I want to bring up Kristen Michael, but I'm gonna deny myself that right and just accept the fact that he might just not have that big of a role. So I've got a few other things. Number one, I think the most obvious is finding some way to counter Matt Ryan and Julio Jones. We did a pretty good job on Julio Jones in the first game we played against them. Having said that, he had an ankle injury that was bothering him then. He did leave last week's game with another injury, but the coaching staff said if they needed him to, if it was a close game, he could have gone in. So he was held out as a precaution. So I don't think at this point there's any reason to think he won't be a full go on Sunday. Again, Gunter probably matches up with him fairly well in terms of who Gunter matches up against in terms of top wide receivers, but man, not having a whole lot of help against Dez Bryant, he got burned a lot, so he'll definitely need some safety help over the top in whatever form he can get it, or it will be a long day. You think back to some of the performances that Julio Jones has had against us, like 260 yards and a couple touchdowns a few years ago on a Thursday night game. Just He knows how to torch us, so we got to find some way to slow that down. Next, I've got Clay Matthews and Julius Peppers. In my mind, so they're not going to force consistent pressure. That's not who they are anymore. Neither one of them is capable. What they are both capable of is just giving us one big play each per game, and we really need that. We didn't really even see it on Sunday, and they almost came back and beat us in Dallas, so one big play from each of them, whether it's a sack, a fumble, an interception, whatever it is, if they can each produce one, I think we're going to be in really good shape. And if that's, you know, if they can stop two drives, then that's two extra chances that Rodgers has to take the lead against a defense that's really not that good. My last thing is we got to lean on McCarthy's experience here. So this will be his fourth NFC championship game. He's won one, he's lost two. He knows what it takes to win. He knows the agony of defeat. Both of those losses happened in just heartbreaking, just fall off a cliff style games that we had won and we threw them away. So rely on his experience. Dan Quinn, this will be his first NFC championship game as a head coach. And you know, just got to maybe hope the occasion is a little bit much for him. I don't think it will be, but you know, we've got a head coach who's got the experience to get this done, so we got to rely on that quite a bit. He's been coaching really good football lately, so credit where it's due. Quick toot of my own horn. I did predict last week's score exactly, so guys, go ahead and tell me how great I am
club.
Real quick.
Welcome to the club, Ryan. You know?
Thank you. Thank you. I am great.
I was getting a little lonely, so but that was...
Nobody likes to show off, John.
Which game did you predict right, John?
That would be the Packers.
It was like his first game here.
Okay. The win.
It was his first prediction for Pack to the Future, and he got it
right. And that's what got the Packers season started off on the right note. So
And he's gone downhill from
very
there,
downhill.
Though.
Very
meanwhile,
downhill.
I'm trending upwards here. So, all right, I'm going to get it exactly right again.
John's the Minnesota Vikings. Brian's the Green Bay Packers. That's
essentially it. Jeez. Yes, boy. That's really good.
Hard
that's
to
really
come
good.
Back from that.
All right,
I'm going to crawl into a hole now.
All right, I'm going to get it right again, and I'm going to drop 240 burgers, woo-hoo! And it's going to be 45-40 Packers.
I love it.
And Dusty, give me some numbers that are going to lead the Packers to the Super Bowl.
And before I get to that, I just want to state that like right after that game was over, Brian sent all of us a message and he was like, I'm wiping tears out of my eyes watching this insane ending and jumping up and down and screaming. And Brian's just furiously typing about how he got the score right. Just get your priority state straight, brother. That's you know what? Just
I had already processed it all, and my emotions can regenerate much faster than yours can.
That's true. I'm older; they take a little while. I gotta like reboot my system or whatever. Okay,
you're not
so
old.
I got a few things I wanted to look at. So one of the things I think it was during the Seattle game, they brought up a stat about how the Falcons were giving up 28.3 points a game before the bye and 20.7 points per game after the bye. So that was presented as their defense has gotten better. And while it has possibly a little gotten better, and those stats are technically true, I kind of wanted to look into it a little bit more. We all know the saying that lies, damned lies and statistics. This fits into that category. So it is true. Those are the points per game before and after the bye. However, before the bye, the Falcons average opponent ranked 12th on offense. And after the bye, their average opponent ranked 17th. So they dropped five spots on offense, which accounts for a lot of those points. So it's less that the Falcons offense got better and more that their opponents got worse. After the bye, they faced, let's see, the Chiefs, who are not putting up a ton of points, the Rams, who didn't put up any points, the Niners, who put up no points, the Panthers, who were scuffling, and then, you know, the Saints, who put up some points on them. So they didn't really face a whole lot of world beaters. So, I mean, that's one of the reasons for why that defense looks better. It's just they faced worse offense. So that defense is maybe a little better, but still not very good. Packers should be able to put up points against them. In fact, at home, the Falcons actually give up 2.6 more points per game at home than they do on the, or they score 2.6 points per home, but they allow almost 4 points per more on the, on at home. Sorry, getting my words all jumbled. So if we count the Seahawks game, which I'm going to, because why not? Falcons were 6-3 at home and 6-2 on the road, which means regular season, they're only 5-3 at home. So, I mean, they have a home field advantage, but it's not great. They play in that dome. Packers play very, very well in domes traditionally. I expect this to be, as Brian said, a very, very high scoring game. Now on the Packers side, they actually give up, like around 9 points per game more on the road than they do at home, which is concerning, especially given what we saw this past week and going up against the number one offense in the league. I can't remember the exact number, but they're top 10 all time, I think, in scoring. The Falcons were this year. So, I mean, it's concerning where the Packers defense is. But I just wanted to look at the, see what the Falcons have done against other playoff teams. Falcons played 5 games against playoff teams. In those games, they went 3-2 and outscored their opponents by an average of 4.2 points. So, I mean, good, you know, winning record, outscoring overall. Packers have played 9 games against playoff teams this season. They went 7-2 in those games, counting the playoffs, and outscored their opponents by an average of 7.8 points. So against playoff teams, Packers are doing better than the Falcons. And we do know that, the Falcons did beat the Packers by 1 point earlier in the season. Players who missed that game, Randall Cobb, Ty Montgomery, Jared Cook, TJ Lang, Clay Matthews, Demarius Randall, Quentin Rollins. Your starting cornerbacks were Demetri Goodson, Ladarius Gunter, and Micah Hyde. Joe Thomas was still playing behind Blake Martinez. But Green Bay only scored 8 points in the second half and still only lost by one. And beyond that, they came within a Gunter perfect break on a ball, dropped interception on the Falcons' last drive from winning that game. Falcons are still playing very, very well, but the Packers are playing better than they did before, and the Packers only lost by 1 point in that game. So I'm going to go with not quite as bold as what Brian went with. But I am going to drop one 40 burger. I'm going to go Packers squeak this one out, 41-38.
We got to stop doing this, Dusty.
Can we get it again?
This is so weird. It's so weird, and we don't even plan this, guys. We don't even plan this.
Great minds, John.
I'm just gonna give a quick hitter. Maybe while I'm giving my quick hitter, I'm gonna adjust my score. I just want to say that I think I kind of view the Packers defense right now as if they make some plays, amazing. But the offense is so hot right now that that's really what's going to win these games for us. And so I'm going to take a look at the opposite side of the ball. And I think this loss of Adrian Claiborne is really going to affect the front seven of Atlanta. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, the front seven for Atlanta is easily the best part about their defense. And when I looked at the snap counts, I mean, he is a guy that is on the field the most when it comes to their pass rushers. And he's getting over 50, like right around 53% of the snap counts, and the next closest is at 38%. So, I mean, he's a proven guy that's been out there, and, you know, they're going to be counting on guys to step up, and I think that that's going to affect their pass rush and their front seven as a whole, and I think that Rodgers is going to have time, and I like the Packers to drop a lot of points, and because of that, and because of what my score was going to be, I was going to say 41-38, but I'm going to give the Packers another field goal and say 44-38. And Jordan, do you have any quick hitters for us?
Well, I actually wanted to go to the go to the Twitter, and we actually have a couple of questions directed our way. So I wanted to ask those to the crew and get you guys' thoughts. First one we have is from Curtis McAllister. That's at CMAllister79. Will the Packers offense use Christian Michael more this week? He's so fast. Throw him some screens. Personally, Curtis, I love Christian Michael. I think he is in kind of the doghouse with the coaches, I do believe. I think he's had some mental errors the past few weeks. Very much at the forefront in this Cowboys game, him muffing the kickoff, fumbling it and return it to the, I think about the 5 or 6 yard line. Now that was right kind of when the Cowboys were regaining momentum in the first half. It was a play that did us some harm. And he had no carries this game, considering how hard he runs, with the burst that he has and the speed that he has. I think it's telling that he's not getting any carries. So I don't think it's a matter of the coaching staff saving him. I think they're nervous about having him in the game. I think they view him more as a liability than as a help to this offense. I mean, there's no other way to explain how you don't get any carries in a playoff game, in a meaningful game after you sign this guy as a free agent. So I don't see him being, I mean, it's tough to use him less than zero times and having him just take kickoffs in the end zone and kneeling down. You know, maybe he's in there a little bit. I guess it depends on the flow of the game. If we need a spark, if the Packers go down early, I mean, then maybe they change things up a little bit, but I don't see him as a huge part of this offense this week.
He probably will be, because I already said that he probably won't be. So in the interest of me just being completely wrong, yeah, he'll probably have a huge role.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, they've gone kind of pass heavy, and I think I see that again in Atlanta this weekend. I mean, they only ran it's not like they're running a ton and Michael wasn't getting in. They ran just like 15 called run plays against I guess 46 passes. They're not running very much, or 48, I guess, close to 50. They're not running very much. So if you're not running very much, and Michael was getting like 5 touches a game, but you basically just have Montgomery and Rutkowski doing that now, like, he doesn't have the opportunity to do it too much. As far as screen passes, like, man, there's the big, right before that Cook throw is, I believe, the play before the sack was a 17-yard screen pass to Ty Montgomery this past game. That kind of broke it open. And I think if they didn't gain that, I think the Packers probably settle back and maybe punt, play for overtime. Getting that yardage kind of got them a little bold to try to get in a field goal range. So they're going to do it. But at the same time, I mean, you do that to combat pass rush. And I mean, Falcons don't have a great pass rush. They're 22nd in the league at pressure rate. So, I mean, whether that's going to be Montgomery or Michael, I don't see a whole lot of screen passes. And I mean, like those other guys said, like I see Michael getting in, I don't know, a couple plays. I wouldn't be shocked if he gets, I don't know, four rushes or something. I do like what I've seen out of him. I just think right now their game plan is Rodgers is hot, so they're just going to throw the ball against bad defenses, and that's what they're coming up against.
That was my – just knowing the Packers' skill, I remember when I was watching the Giants playoff game, you know, knowing the Packers' ability in the secondary and in the pass defense, I was thinking, man – every time the Giants run the ball, that's just a that's just a benefit to our defense. I'd imagine Atlanta fans are gonna be like, "Oh yeah, hand the ball off to Aaron Ripkowski. Sure, whatever you do to get it out of Rodgers' hands, that's fine." So I found myself even in this Cowboys game, I'm like, "Ah, I'd like to get some balance, but at the same point, you want to keep the ball in Rodgers' hands. Like, let him throw it 50 times a game. You know, that's how well he's playing. You got to have some semblance of balance, but." Yeah, I think Montgomery had 11 carries. He did well when he carried the ball. Ripkowski had a couple nice runs. I wouldn't mind seeing the exact same percentage again against Atlanta. I really wouldn't mind it. Packers are running.
I mean, they're running that no huddle a little more, which they weren't doing earlier, but to get into a rhythm. And just Montgomery's way more versatile than Michael is. You can line him up as a wide receiver. You can catch those passes out of the backfield. Yes. You trust him a little more. Michael doesn't have that. And I mean, if you're running no huddle package, you're looking at mismatches. Montgomery is the ultimate mismatch right now. So, I mean, I don't like taking him out of there for Michael.
No, and the coaches aren't. I mean, Michael was barely in the game. I think the coaches feel the same way, and I think that's a key for us. The more Michael's, I mean, a couple weeks ago, I was saying I'd love to see more Michael. I love the way he hit the hole, ran with burst, but Montgomery has a better head on his shoulders back there, I think. And yeah, like you said, him having the receiver skills, it makes our offense that much more difficult to deal with. All right. I want to bring up one tweet. Brian kind of mentioned this before we started recording. This is a tweet from Gil Brandt, SiriusXM NFL radio host, that brought up the record of Dan Quinn facing Aaron Rodgers and the Packers in the past couple years. We played the Seahawks when Dan Quinn was their defensive coordinator twice in 2014, a season opener when we got absolutely shellacked. I believe it was the opening Thursday night game, if I'm not mistaken, 36-16. And then obviously the NFC Championship game, which we will speak no longer of. And then earlier this year, we played the Falcons and lost to them 33-32, which we've talked about. So Rodgers is 0-3 against Dan Quinn. So my question to you guys is this a small sample space? Is there not much to read into this? Or do you think Dan Quinn has Aaron Rodgers' number?
I mean, this tweet is just... There's nothing relevant. Absolutely nothing relevant in this entire tweet. First of all, to say Aaron Rodgers is 0-3 versus Dan Quinn. I don't always agree with Aaron Nagler, but when I do, it's about wins not being a quarterback stat. Okay? Quarterbacks do not win games. No one player wins games. All right? Then let's look at this. The last two games he played against Dan Quinn defenses, his team put up a total of 54 points. 54 points in two games is good. That's good. It just so happens that his defense gave up more points than he was able to score. Okay? Then you look at that one game where Rodgers really did struggle against the Dan Quinn defense. This Falcons team does not have the talent that Seahawks team had. That team, I mean, where do you begin and end? Michael Bennett, Richard Sherman, Bobby Wagner, like the list goes on of unbelievably talented players on that Seahawks defense. And they stopped everybody that year. And then later in that same year, we put up really good numbers against them. So I don't think there is a single word in that tweet that is relevant to anything that's going to happen on Sunday.
The funny thing is that this is the second time this year that I remember seeing something come up. The last one was a little more in-depth about coaches having success against Rodgers. And the first one was Zimmer after the – I think it was before the first Vikings game. going back to Zimmer's time in Cincinnati, and that was even more specific. That wasn't 0-3. That was at his actual stats, where his completion percentage was like 52%, and he, you know, threw almost as many interceptions as touchdowns and stuff like that. Where you can kind of see something to that. Zimmer had a lot of the same guys. He had the same scheme and very talented defense in Minnesota. And then like, that got blown out of the water at the end of the season when Rodgers just went nuclear, threw for 382 yards. QB rating of 110.6, put up 38 points on the Vikings. And that seemed to me, those numbers were ones that carried a little more water than this. This just seems like one of those things that's, hey, here's something really easy we can look at, and look at his record. It's kind of weird. It's like, it's an oddity, but nothing more than that. It's small sample size. Oh, and I was wrong. I was looking at the wrong stats. Rodgers went for 347, but his rating was 136.6 in that Vikings game. So, like torched him. And that was, I think Zimmer's got Rodgers figured out. So, I mean, part of it is it's small sample size. It's a cute little stat. But then also, Rodgers is setting fire to everyone, just everyone right now. So even if Quinn did have something figured out, like you said, just between how the pieces on the Falcons defense and with how Rodgers is playing now, if the Packers lose, it's not going to be because Dan Quinn did some weird juju on Rodgers.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. I mean, three games, three losses. I agree with you, Brian, and QBs. You know, win loss you can't just attribute to the QB. Not to mention we played the Giants in a first postseason game. You know, that was against Ben McAdoo, who coached Aaron Rodgers. He's been in the same room with him. You'd think if there was a guy that could get an advantage on a guy, it'd be him. And it's just you talk about the way Rodgers is playing, and that's, to me, I think is just the key. I mean, he's laying waste to anybody right now the way he's playing. So no, I agree. It's not going to be they're going to beat us for more than a reason of just Dan Quinn, having a great game plan against Rodgers. It's going to take a lot more than that. It's going to take, honestly, for the Falcons, it's going to take a little bit of luck. It's going to take some, uncharacteristic bad throws from Rodgers. You know, it's going to take more than that. So anyway, I agree with you guys. We got one last question, and easily the most important question that we're going to answer all podcast. This comes from our producer, Josh Shack. You can find him at Armand_Hammers. Guys, rank 3-1. So we got three people here. You guys, it's your job to rank them. Aaron Rodgers, Kenny Rodgers, or Mr. Rodgers. I'm gonna start this out. If my team has the ball with 2 minutes left in a big game, I want Kenny Rodgers on the mic. No, I want no one else. I've never been to a Kenny Rogers concert, but I imagine he nails the encore.
No, sir. Kenny is at the bottom of the list with Aaron in the middle and obviously Mr. at top. My goodness, how can you ever rank anybody above Mr. Rogers?
It's Jordan's turn, and your opinion is incorrect anyway, Brian.
Perhaps you're kind of overrating your children's TV host a little bit.
He finished his turn as soon as I started talking. Thank you.
I think he leaned on Mr. McFeely a little too much.
Solid analysis.
I think he needed a lot of people around him. He couldn't carry the show by himself. Whereas you put up Kenny Rogers on the stage. All he needs is himself, his guitar, and his microphone. I mean, that's what you want. In a leader. I bet
you're so full of crap right now.
Mr. Rogers. I bet Mr. Rogers never not talked to his family. So,
he had the whole kingdom of make believe. You're right. He talked to them every day.
Fired.
That's a really good point, John.
But Aaron's number one, and Mr. Rogers is number two, and Kenny Rogers is number three.
I'm actually going.
At least we can agree that Kenny's.
I'm going Aaron Rodgers, Kenny Rogers, Mr. Rogers. I got Mr. Rogers just right smack dab on the bottom. Brian, what do you think about that?
I think I need to find a new podcast. I'm going to start a Mr. Rogers podcast. Yes.
I'm going to explain myself that I was not allowed to watch Mr. Rogers as a child because my parents felt that he condescended to children.
Yeah. What? Wow.
Because he's all like, hey there, kiddies. Welcome to my house. How are you? Oh, that's so good to hear. And the kids are like 12. Like, just talk to them like normal people, man. I don't know if they're 12. I've never watched the program.
Well,
I've
seen a little bit of it. You just found out live on the Back to the Future podcast that growing up, Dusty's parents did not love him.
They loved me. They just, you know, they wanted to be the ones that talked down to me, not Mr. Rogers. That's not true. I love you. I love you, Mom and Dad. I love you.
I feel like this Twitter question went to family.
Yeah,
Discord.
I was gonna say we started listing off things that our parents did not allow us to do. I feel like my Jordan and Brian's list would just go on for another hour. Or so
long time. That's a whole different show. We'll cover that on the Mr. Rogers podcast.
It'll be one of our mini episodes. But before we get too ahead of ourselves, Jordan, I want to know what your final score prediction is going to be, because you have said nothing about that so far.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. A beautiful day for a neighbor.
No.
Would you be mine?
I haven't said anything about the game yet. It was a tease, you know. I'm just waiting for the end, waiting for my time.
Tease us.
I've always
tease us
wanted
Jordan.
To have a neighbor just. I'm gonna like stab Brian you. Right in the throat. Just stab him right in the throat. Josh, keep that in.
But Dusty, I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you.
No, you haven't. You've never said that. Literally, never said that to me before.
We got some.
So let's make the most of this beautiful day.
Guys, we got some solid dead air right now.
Thank you. So anyway, my prediction for the game. No, what I think is going to happen, I think is it's going to be a continuation of what has happened. I think our defense is going to struggle at times in this game. I honestly think they're going to struggle more than what they did against the Cowboys, which isn't exactly a hot take. This Falcons offense has been playing better than most offenses for the majority of this season. So I anticipate our secondary having an issue. If we're not able to get to Matt Ryan, which we weren't really able to get to Dak Prescott at all this past weekend, I can see the offense causing us problems. They're going to have to force a couple turnovers. Matt Ryan's going to have to go into turnover machine mode, as he has been prone to do in his career. He hasn't done it this season at all, but he has done it in the past. So that's kind of what we need, I think, to really help us out. But even if that doesn't happen, even if Atlanta's clicking on all cylinders, I cannot bet against Aaron Rodgers right now. I believe he can outscore any team in the NFL right now. That's what I feel. So I think this is going to be a high-scoring game. I am going to go Packers 39, Atlanta 36.
All right. And there you have it. And there you have it, Packers.
Going to go just short of the 40 burger, Brian.
Coward.
Pains me to do. I did it last week and it didn't work, so I gotta go a little less.
You're a coward.
I mean, I've never understood this term 40 burger to date. Like, is this like actual football terminology, or was this invented on Pack to the Future?
I mean, I just said it before the Texans game because I felt like it.
pretty sure Bill Walsh came up with it when he developed the West Coast offense.
Probably a Bill Walsh thing. I do fall from the Bill Walsh tree.
Pretty far from the Bill Walsh tree.
Guys, really good
pretty
idea.
Pretty far, but from it.
Really good idea. Let's make a t-shirt that says 40 burger on it.
Okay.
Well, I can think of four people that would wear it, and that's probably us four.
Oh, no, I'm not buying that. You get the three.
I don't think I'd buy it either.
I would buy it for you guys.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, there you go.
So that you have to wear it. Closet.
Just give me a medium.
Get you an extra medium.
Ryan, do you have a final thought?
I do.
A Super Bowl.
I really do. Okay,
thought.
So my new thing on final thoughts is to point out the dumbest thing I can find on social media this week. Certain terrible ESPN and Fox broadcasters are excluded because they would just ruin the curve.
Smart.
This week, the award goes to the actual Dallas Cowboys, who tweeted out an application to jump on their bandwagon, which is just the most desperate and bogus and just annoying thing I can possibly think of, that an actual professional sports franchise, the one that claims to be America's team and claims to already have the most fans, is just begging for people to jump on the bandwagon and essentially just ruin an already terrible reputation that their fans have. So man, like this full application, it's, have you ever said anything bad about the Cowboys? What team did you cheer for before? Like, if you've ever cheered for the Redskins or Eagles, you can't be on our team and blah, blah, blah. She's like, such crap after crap after crap. The only good that came out of it was a bunch of people just making fun of bandwagon fans. So my favorite was a guy filling it out as a Seahawks fan. So they ask you previous team, and he wrote Seahawks, right? So then the next question is, how many years have you been cheering for this team? And he wrote 12 minutes. And then, why are you leaving this team? And he goes, realized I'm not from Seattle. So some good things came out of it, but it's just the most desperate, oh, we're America's team. Well, America's team doesn't need to beg for fans like that. So yeah, you guys get the dumbest award for social media posts this week. Oh boy. All right. So as John mentioned before, we're going to start releasing some mini episodes of Pack to the Future. We'll have one coming out later this week. And again, these won't be on Packers Talk Radio Net. So if you're listening on Packers Talk Radio Net, make sure you're also subscribing to our channel. You can find us on iTunes, Android, Stitcher. We're on just about everything. You can find us anywhere. So make sure you're subscribed to our feed as well. Following us on Twitter at PTTF_podcast. You can find me at PTTF_Brian.
Give him a follow. Dusty, final thoughts.
Yeah, I got, I got four. Yeah, but they're all pretty quick, so it's fine. So I'm doing cheap tickets. I always look at the cheapest tickets for the upcoming week. As you can imagine, this time of year, it gets harder to do that. The cheapest tickets this week, Green Bay at Atlanta. Hey, that's us. That's guys, us. That's what we're talking about.
Let's go.
For the low, low cost of $354, you can go to Atlanta and sit in like a nosebleed seat in the corner of a dome. So that's exciting. You can do that.
I've been there.
Guys, don't pay that much to go down there.
It's not just any game in a dome. It's the last game.
That's
of
true.
A dome.
Yeah. So you know, it's going to be lit.
A little,
and just like super modern and everything. Like we're actually thinking about, we're watching ticket prices and we're thinking about driving down if they get down to a certain price, but I'm not paying $354 to sit in the corner. I'll just go to a bar and spend that on a beer. So that's your cheap ticket for the game, for this week. So that's exciting. I missed a stat I was going to bring up in the stats section. So I want to do that real quick just because it blew my mind. So over the last three games, Green Bay has scored touchdowns on 91% of their trips to the red zone. 91%. Ooh. There's like a group of people, and it happens quite often, that every year just complain about how the Packers do not score touchdowns in the red zone, and they've been consistently, I believe, in the top 10 all year. 91% over the last three games. That is
ridiculous.
Just bonkers good. So that's really exciting. I'll do my non-football one because I want to close on a football one. So late last week, I recorded a podcast with CC over at Bloody Good Horror, which is a really fun site. I'm a big fan of them, talking about the Babadook pop-up book, which I've talked about in here before, and it's awesome. And so I think that's coming out. The podcast called Something Red. It's through Bloody Good Horror. I think it's going to be coming out next week. I can't remember. But it was a lot of fun. Like 45 minutes of just basically making jokes about the Babadook, who is a terrifying, terrifying figure that no one should ever joke about, and we're probably going to die now, but that was awesome. So look for that. I think that's going to be out. I was very excited about that. That was a lot of fun. Last one, man, a lot of good things happened in this game. We talked about the throw to Cook. We've been through a whole bunch of it, and talk about plays that kind of get glossed over a little bit because of what happens immediately afterwards. That Hyde interception was one of the more heads up things I saw. And according to Hyde, Gunter actually pointed that out as well. Packers were in zone coverage. They were at the line, little wide receiver screen. As soon as the ball was snapped, Hyde's running just full speed at the line, picks the ball off. If not for a really quick reaction by Dez Bryant, that's six going the other way. But the Cowboys were inside the Packers 30 at the time. Rodgers, I say it was forgotten because Rodgers threw an interception on the next possession. That kind of made people forget about the Hyde one. But that Hyde interception, just one of the more heads up plays I've seen recently. So that was just an exciting play to kind of go back and revisit. Big, big fan of that one. I made a GIF of that one as well. So if you want to watch that on repeat, just have at it because that was awesome. And you can find me on Twitter at Dusty Evely. John, my last name is pronounced Evely.
Thank you for the clarification. I mean, that's
you're welcome.
That's my homework for this week. And when we come back next week, I will be stronger than ever and say it with great pronunciation. And Jordan, give me your final thoughts.
All right, guys, I have two final thoughts. First final thought. This dawned on me earlier today, and I had to look it up and make sure. But since the year 1996, Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers have two wins in the Dallas area. The Cowboys actually only have one. They beat the Philadelphia Eagles back in 2009. So we have more playoff success than the Cowboys in Dallas over the last two decades. So that's kind of cool. Second final thought, this last postseason game against the Cowboys a couple days ago, had the joy of watching it with my brother and his family, my niece, my two nephews, his wife, and actually his wife's parents were there watching the game with us. That was a joy. Actually, I honestly can't remember the last playoff game that I've seen with my brother. That was a lot of fun. I think we both freaked out my niece and nephew that were still up after Crosby's kick went in. We were screaming and doing chest pumps in the kitchen. I don't think they understood what was happening. So they might not remember it, but I will remember that is the full playoff game that I watched with them. So that's a cool memory. So yeah, those are my final thoughts. I'm looking forward to watching the NFC Championship with them this weekend too. So it's gonna be a good time. Hopefully you get another W.
Mm-hmm. And Jordan, my favorite question of every podcast is, do you have a Twitter?
Because he always forgets to say it.
I do have a Twitter.
What is it?
It's because most people. I'm not gonna lie. It's probably more important things than checking out my Twitter. I'm just trying not to bog down the listeners' week. Incorrect. Okay. If you guys really want to check out my Twitter, you guys can find me on Twitter at jgpeck41.
There's a reason why I told everyone in week one to unfollow Jordan. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
So they can follow me this week.
So they can follow you this week. Absolutely.
There you go.
and the jury's still out as to whether or not Jordan's final thoughts are better with him actually preparing or just winging it. So it was some pretty good facts.
Jury's out.
Pretty good facts you brought this week, Jordan. So I would say my jury is leaning more towards you preparing for them still. And I thought it was good. I thought it was really good.
Thank you.
And
thank you, John.
And I have one final thought for you guys. And I have the opportunity to sit down with Mr. Kevin Holden from CBS Sports this week. I'm going to sit down with him tomorrow and we're just going to do a little chit chat. I mean, the dude knows everything and anything about sports. And he actually, fun fact about Kevin Holden is that he actually, he is the play-by-play guy for Brewers baseball games on Telemundo. So he is very bilingual, I will have you know. And he is also a very, very funny man.
And John knows three Spanish
words.
Yeah,
hola, senor, senorita. There you go. That's all I know.
That's good. There solid. It's good.
I am looking forward to sitting down with him. The dude is way funnier than I am. So tune in for some laughs. Tune in for some things we may have not have covered about this Packer game. And you can find me on Twitter at John Jameson. Guys, thank you for tuning in. It has been a blast today. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Send in your Twitter questions. We love it. And we look forward to being back next week, hopefully talking about the Packers heading on a plane to Houston to take on whichever unlucky foe comes out of the AFC. Have a blessed week. Go Pack, go. We'll see you guys in an edition of Pack to the Future Super Bowl Coverage!